Well, if you'd like to open your Bibles this morning, please, to the book of Acts is where we are on Sunday mornings. Book of Acts, chapter 2. We come now to a key chapter in the Bible. There are certain chapters in the Bible that are just very pivotal. Certain events that take place. All right, and we come to the chapter now that teaches of the fulfillment of the promises of the Lord Jesus and that of the coming of the Holy Spirit. Okay? A phenomenon. A miracle. A miracle event that would empower the church to fulfill the Great Commission from that day till the church would be raptured into heaven. Alright, last week we focused on the verse, Acts chapter 1 verse 8. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. We saw that verse unfolding last week as we did an overview of the book of Acts. And we looked at verses 1 to 7. And we saw the gospel going to Jerusalem. We saw in Jerusalem, in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, 3,000 people were saved. In Acts chapter 4, verse 4, the Bible says there 5,000 people were saved. And in Acts chapter 5, we saw in a verse there where it says, multitudes came to know the Lord. And then in chapters 8 to 12, we saw the gospel going to Judea and Samaria. And then in chapters 13 to 28, enter the ministry and the life of the man Saul, who gets saved on the road to Damascus and became the great missionary apostle to the Gentile nations. And in chapters 13 to 28, we saw the last part of that verse, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, unfolding, the gospel going to the uttermost parts of the earth. Okay, so we saw all that last week, and it all starts here, folks, in Acts chapter 2. And the empowering of the church by God to fulfill the Great Commission and the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, these first 21 verses, I want to talk to you about a few different things. Number one, Pentecost. Number two, I want to speak about speaking in tongues. Okay? Number three comes to Peter's sermon. And Peter gives reference to the Old Testament minor prophet Joel. And through that, we're going to look at the tribulation period a little bit, and then we're going to look at the second coming of Jesus Christ. Alright, the second coming of Jesus Christ is not when he comes for the church at the rapture. The second coming is when he comes at the end of the tribulation period, defeats all the enemies of Israel, and then ushers in the millennial kingdom reign. Alright? The second coming is not when he comes to the clouds for the church. When he comes at the end of the tribulation, that's what the Bible talks about, the second coming of Christ. And so we've got a bit to cover this morning. I'm excited about it. I hope you will be. Hope you will learn something. Take home something to think about, meditate on, and apply to your life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our time together this morning. We thank you, Lord, for our church service. And Lord, this time is very important. And we just pray now for the teaching ministry of the church and the arm of discipleship. And just pray that you would help us to be attentive, to concentrate, to not be distracted, and to concentrate on this passage of Scripture, and to look at it in the light of what will be taking place in future events. And our Lord, just as everything unfolded in the past, and how the prophecies of the Word of God have come to fruition, everyone 100% accurate, these two will be the same. And how we look forward to what you have for us. And Lord, we just commit our time to you now and thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. First of all, the Lord Jesus, we said last week, he said to his disciples, I'm going away. They probably couldn't fully understand what he was talking about. Why would their Messiah, be crucified on the cross? Why would he be resurrected and then all of a sudden ascend up into heaven? Acts chapter 1 verse 9. And they were probably just wondering about all of this. We talked about the walk back from the Mount of Olives, the short journey back to Jerusalem. And we talked about the discussion, things like that. But the Lord Jesus promised them and he said, if I go not away, the Comforter won't come. The Parakletos, the one who comes alongside, the Holy Spirit of God. We saw that in John chapter 14 verse 16, John chapter 15 verse 26, and John chapter 16 verse 7. He said, it's imperative that I go away, and so then you will be, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Not only will come upon you, but in the first time will indwell you. And he said, it's imperative that I go away. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, but you shall receive power. Dunamis, mighty power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me. The progression there is the Holy Ghost. You will receive power, the Holy Ghost will come upon you, and you will be witnesses for me and unto me. And if you're here this morning and you're a born-again believer, it ought to be always on the tip of your tongue. And in your heart, to be telling other people about Jesus Christ. And here it is, the coming of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2 verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come. Pentecost, Pentecostos, is the Greek word. And it's a word that means 50, and it's in reference to days. In the Old Testament, the Israelites were instructed by God to observe certain days called feast days. You had the Feast of Tabernacles, and the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and on and on. Okay? Turn in your Bibles, please, to Leviticus chapter 23. Just to get the gist of this word, Pentecost. Leviticus chapter 23. These days were very important days to Israel. And they are referred to, Leviticus chapter 23 verse 2. Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them concerning the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations. Holy convocations, or it means a public meeting or an assembly. It was a time at these feasts where the Jews were to gather together. Okay? And they were days of sacrificing. You'll find that in Numbers chapters 28 and 29. We won't go there. Okay, there was trumpet blowing, and they were days like the Sabbath day. You didn't do any work on these days. No work at all. And you just set aside all your labours for out in the field, and the time of harvest and all that was all just set aside on these days. No work was to be done on these days. Look at Leviticus 23 verse 7. In the first day you shall have an holy convocation, you shall do no servile work therein. Look at verse 8. You shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days. In the seventh day as an holy convocation, you shall do no servile work therein. Verse 21, Leviticus 23 verse 21, same thing. And you shall proclaim on the selfsame day that it may be a holy convocation unto you, you shall do no servile work therein. All right, now, the Feast of Weeks, The Feast of Weeks, also known as the Feast of Harvest, was to be recognised 7 Sabbath days or 7 weeks, okay, or 50 days. 50 days after the Passover. Notice Leviticus 23, verses 15 and 16. Leviticus 23, verses 15 and 16. By the way, who's here this morning doesn't have a Bible and you need a Bible? Does anybody, so you can follow along? Everybody's okay? We do have spare Bibles. Okay, good. All right, Leviticus 23, verses 15 and 16. And you shall count unto you from the morrow, after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. So you've got 7 weeks, 1 day after the Sabbath makes 50 days. Verse 16, even unto the morrow, after the 7th Sabbath shall ye number 50 days, and ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. And so here now, folks, in Acts chapter 2, you've got Jews coming from all over the world to Jerusalem. And that's where the Jews would go to recognise these feast days. They would come from all the tribes of Palestine. And they would come to Jerusalem. Special days for the Jews to recognise these days. Okay, look at Leviticus 23, verse 23. It says there, that's not the one I'm after. Leviticus 23, verse 20, and shall proclaim on the selfsame day that the holy to do not, and it shall be a statute forever. And when you reap the harvest of the land, okay, I just can't find the verse where it talks about them coming to Jerusalem, but that's okay. Anyway, in Acts chapter 2, we see Jews coming. Go back to Acts chapter 2. And look at verse 5. There were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And so you've got Jews that have gathered at Jerusalem for this Feast of Pentecost. 50 days, Pentecost, 50 days. Okay? And here in the wisdom of God, in Acts chapter 2, God is using this Jewish festival, this Jewish feast, where Jews are gathering from all over the world into the one place of Jerusalem. And not only as we've been saying, that the Holy Spirit would come to empower the New Testament church, and not only, as I've said before, the Holy Testament indwelling the believer for the first time, but to show, for God to show his love and his mercy and his grace on his own people, the Jews, at this time, and bringing to the Jews salvation. And I think the charismatic people, with all due respect, have missed the boat and misunderstood greatly and misinterpreted greatly this passage of Scripture. It's in this chapter that Peter stands in the power of the Holy Spirit, preaches the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ here at Pentecost. This is nothing but God's grace to his own people, the Jews. John 1:11, he came unto his own. Romans 1:16, to the Jew first. Matthew 10:5, go not into the way of the Gentiles and into any city of the Samaritans. Enter ye not, verse 6 of Matthew chapter 10, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. 1 Corinthians 1:22, for the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. 1 Corinthians 14:22, wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. And God in his love and grace and mercy is bringing all of this now at Pentecost, where the Jews are gathering at this feast, and bringing to them the message of salvation in Jesus Christ. Okay? Also, we have in this passage of Scripture, in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. So we've got in this passage of Scripture the spiritual gift of tongues clearly given in this first century for the unbelieving Jews, I believe. I'll say that again. We have this spiritual gift of the speaking in tongues, the Greek word, I think, is, let me see if I can got it there, dialectos, it means known languages. And so these people were speaking in languages that they had never learned before, like it was their national tongue, and it was a miraculous occasion. And here they were speaking in these tongues, and I believe it was given in this first century for the unbelieving Jews. The gift of tongues, along with interpretation of tongues, healings, prophesyings, are known as the sign gifts, and no longer in operation today. Same as the offices of the apostles and prophets, no longer in operation today. All right, we've looked at that on Wednesday night. We're not going to look at 1 Corinthians 10:13 about these things passing away and the passage in James 1:22-25. But I'll give you a couple of things to think about. Purpose of the sign gifts were, as I've already said, were a sign to the unbelieving Jews. Jews require a sign. The Greeks seek after wisdom. 1 Corinthians 14:22, tongues are for a sign. Okay, number two was to authenticate the apostles' ministry and their authority. Go with me to Mark 16, verse 20. Matthew, Mark, chapter 16, verse 20. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Notice that? Confirming the word with signs following. Go with me to Acts 2, 43. Acts chapter 2, verse 43. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. God authenticating the ministry of the apostle with the signs and the wonders and the miracles that they did. As a gift to his own people, the Jews. Okay? Beware of a charismatic teaching that focuses on these things today. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. Says there are counterfeit gifts. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk by faith and not by sight. I'm not to look for some sign today to prove to me who Jesus Christ is. I believe in Jesus Christ by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The just shall live by faith. Salvation is by faith. And everything after that is by faith in the Christian life. The book of Acts is a transitional period of time. There's some things in there we don't do today. Taking going from Old Testament law to the New Testament age of the church, the age of grace. It is a transitional period of time. And so we have to interpret it very carefully. Okay, Acts chapter 2 verse 2, it says there was a sound from heaven, a rushing mighty wind filled the house. Verse 3, cloven tongues. The word cloven means to divide or to depart. And then it says they were like as of fire. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Verse 4, Acts chapter 2 verse 4, and they began to speak with other tongues. The word is glossa. And it means languages. It wasn't some gibberish or babble. It was a known language as the Spirit gave them utterance. Notice that in verse 4, Acts chapter 2, verse 4. As the Spirit gave them utterance. They couldn't do this apart from the power and the anointing and the enabling of the Spirit of God. This was a supernatural, one-time event where men were speaking fluently in languages, foreign languages that were not their own native tongue. And when news spread of this phenomenon, look at verses 5 and 6. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. They were confused. They thought, how can this be? And verse 7 says, they were amazed and they marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? How can they know our native tongue? Verse 8, and how hear we every man in our tongue wherein we were born? Verses 9 to 11, Jews out of every nation were there. Verse 11, they were praising God. Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. That's what they were speaking, praising the Lord. And verse 12, what's it all about? And they were amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. They've been drinking. And they're half stunned. And then Peter stands up. And he delivers the great sermon at Pentecost. One of the great sermons of the Bible. The power of the Holy Spirit. And he says to them, verse 15, these fellows aren't drunken. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day, 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And he quotes Joel chapter 2, verses 28 to 32. In verses 16 to 21 of Acts chapter 2, he takes them back to that prophecy in the book of Joel. Okay? The time frame that Peter is referring to here in Acts is the tribulation period. All right, let's just do a little bit of quick. Okay, somebody tell me what event will take place before the tribulation. First of all, does anybody know what the tribulation is? Sorry?
It's the 70th week.
Yes, we never know that. I didn't want to go there this morning. 70th week, the 70th week prophecy of Daniel is absolutely correct, Brother Warren. It's the, but I just something a bit simple this morning. Brother Nick.
The tribulus is what they used to put the wheat through to crush.
Just a very quick answer, brother.
It's a 7-year period.
Seven years of tribulation on this earth, and God will pour out his wrath. Three sets of judgments on the earth. What event will precede the tribulation?
The rapture of the church.
Alright? The rapture. That's when the Lord Jesus will come to the clouds. There'll be the voice of the archangel. There'll be a trumpet sound. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verses 13 to 19 gives the teaching on this. And the church will be raptured. That's all the born again believers. That's not everybody who goes to church. I spoke to a lady yesterday, she was telling me, I said, are you a Christian? She said, yes, I go to the Baptist church at Bondi. I said, wonderful. I said, when were you saved? She said, oh, I've never been saved. Not everybody will go on the rapture. Just because you go to church, just because you come to this church, doesn't mean you'll go at the rapture. Only those who have trusted Jesus Christ as their Saviour, being born again, will go. Alright, there'll be the rapture. We'll be gone off the earth. There's the earth there. And then we'll start the seven-year tribulation period on this earth. Who will rise during this time and be, for the first time in the history of the world, there will be a one world leader. Okay? You don't have that at this time. You've got presidents and prime ministers and, you know, you've got a European Union being formed. But during this time there will be a tribulation, a one world leader. What will his name be?
Antichrist.
He'll be the Antichrist. He will come to power in this time. And he will set up a system where you will not be able to buy and sell unless you bow to him. And you'll be given a mark on the back of your hand, 666, or on your forehead. And you'll belong to him. You belong to him. And you won't get saved if you receive that mark. Okay? And so there will be the 7-year tribulation period. The Lord Jesus will come at the second coming. Alright, this is not the second coming, this is the rapture of the church. The second coming is over here at the end of this 7-year period. Alright, and the Lord Jesus will descend, Revelation 19, with the armies from heaven. We'll come down to the earth, there'll be the Battle of Armageddon, and then we'll come in a period of time called the 1,000-year millennial reign on the earth. Alright, you can get a copy of that later. Okay? And so that's the situation. Now the situation here in Acts chapter 2 is the Apostle Peter stands and he starts teaching them about what the prophet Joel said. What the prophet Joel said. Let's go to Joel chapter 2. He's almost quoting word for word Joel chapter 2 verses 28 to 32. Okay? And hold your finger in Acts, go to Joel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Hosea. I say that to myself so that it helps me to find it. Joel chapter 2, look at verse 28. Alright, okay, you got your finger there. Let me read Acts chapter 2, verse 16, 17. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Young men will see visions, and old men will dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapour and smoke. All right, now I'll go to Joel chapter 2, verse 28. That was Acts chapter 2. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens and those that I pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord had said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. All right? So, let's see if we can work out the time frame. You know, you've got here at Pentecost, the first century, people filled with the Spirit of God, and they're speaking in tongues. And some people are saying, wait a minute, these fellas are drunk. And Peter says, no, they're not drunk. This is that which the prophet Joel spoke about. Now, I don't believe in Acts chapter 2, it's the fulfillment of Joel chapter 2, but it's similar to Acts chapter 2. And let's see if we can work out the time frame. Pouring out of the Spirit of God, young men, old men dreaming dreams, young men seeing visions, and so on. Okay, look at verse 30. Verse 30 of Joel chapter 2. It says there, let me get it. Look at verse 30. And I'll show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. You know that in the tribulation period in Revelation chapter 6 verse 8, during this period of time, a quarter of the earth's population will die. Revelation 6 8. Have a look at it yourself. Hold your finger in Acts, keep another finger in Joel, and then go to Revelation chapter 6, verse 8. Revelation 6 is in the tribulation period. After chapter 4, you're in the tribulation. Church is in heaven. All right, and in Revelation chapter 6, verse 8, and I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him, and power was given unto him over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. A fourth part of the earth, a quarter of the earth's population will die during this 7-year period. That's a lot of people. Okay, the Bible says in that period of time the seas of the oceans of the world will turn to blood. Revelation 16 verse 3. Says, and the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul in the sea, every living soul died in the sea. How much of the earth's surface now is ocean? Roughly.
Two-thirds.
I think it's 70%. You imagine all that turning to blood. You think about that now. Okay. Look at Revelation 14 verse 20. Revelation 14 verse 20. At the battle, or the prelude to the battle of Armageddon. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horses' bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. Blood. And Peter said, and referred back to Joel chapter 2, and is referring to a time where there will be blood on the earth. We're talking the tribulation period. Okay? Revelation, and then he said fire. He said blood and fire and pillars of smoke. Revelation chapter 8, verses 5 and 7. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire off the altar and cast it into the earth, and there was voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. Verse 7, the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burnt up, and all the green grass was burnt up. A third of the earth's vegetation burned up with fire. All right, and Peter is saying in this speaking of tongues, the coming of the Spirit of God is just like what the prophet Joel said, and Joel was referring to the tribulation period. Pillars of smoke, Revelation 9 verse 2. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. All right, now, I don't think we can do this passage of Scripture justice without referring to the Lord's second coming. Okay, all this, what I just said and what Peter spoke about, what Joel spoke about, is all happening in the tribulation period. All right, and then which is just prior to the Lord Jesus' return to the earth. All right, so I want to just talk a little bit about the Lord's second coming. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew 24, verses 29 and 30. Matthew 24. Matthew 24, verses 29 to 30 and 30. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. This is the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to the earth. This is not the rapture of the church. I want to notice about a few things about the Lord's second coming. First of all, it will be very sudden, similar to the rapture. It will be very sudden. Matthew 24, verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Verse 42-44. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. He will come, the Lord will come also, not suddenly, but he will also come in power and great glory. Verses 29 and 30, we've already looked at those. Notice verse 30. Come in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Revelation 19 verse 16 says that when he arrives on the earth, he will arrive as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He won't be the humble little babe born in the manger now, but he will be the ruler of the whole world, folks. Number three, he will defeat Israel's enemies. Go to Revelation 19, verses 19 to 21. I know we're moving quickly this morning and we need to. Revelation 19:19-21. He will defeat Israel's enemies. Revelation 19:19, and I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together. This is John on the Isle of Patmos. And their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken with him, and the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Satan's control and influence on the earth will no longer be. Revelation 20:1-3. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain on his hand, And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Imagine that, 1,000 years living on this earth in the millennium, and no satanic activity. That'll be pretty good. That'll be very good. No demonic, satanic influence or activity on the earth as there is now. Devil will be bound for 1,000 years. Salvation will come to the Jews. Joel 2:32 says a remnant of Israel will be saved, but only a remnant. Only a remnant. Jews that are living now, that are in rebellion to Jesus Christ, who die, will die and go to the lake of fire. But there'll come a time at the end of the tribulation period where there will be a remnant of Jews. Zechariah 13:8-9, only a third of the nation of Israel will be saved. Two-thirds will be killed in the tribulation. Zechariah 13:8-9. Let's look at it. Zechariah, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. Zechariah. Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah. Got it wrong. Zechariah 13:8-9. Shall come to pass that in all that land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. And I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. Only one third of the nation of Israel will be saved. We'll trust in Jesus Christ as their Saviour. Moses prophesied this in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 30 and 31. We don't have to go there. After the battle of the Armageddon, the Lord's feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, and the mountain will split in two. Zechariah 14:4. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half the mountain shall remove toward the north and half towards the south. There will be this, the Mount of Olives is a split in two. This huge valley will form, and the surviving Jews will look upon Christ, and they'll be saved. Zechariah 12:10. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. The first time, except for the Jews in the New Testament and Jews today, can be saved, but for the first time as a nation, they will look upon Christ and they will be weeping and in bitterness like a man loses his firstborn son. And they'll say to themselves, what have we done? We have crucified our own Saviour. And Romans chapter 11 verse 26 will be fulfilled. All Israel will be saved. The veil will be taken off their eyes. God says, I will pour upon them the spirit of grace and supplication. Can't be saved without the working of the Spirit of God. Only it can happen by an outpouring of the Spirit of God. And I talked about revivals the other week. Revivals at Nineveh, revivals at Jerusalem, the Welsh revival. And I didn't see this revival right here at the end of the tribulation. I wonder if this morning has there been a revival in your life. The Spirit of God touching your life, convicting you of your sin, and convincing you that the only hope for your life is Jesus Christ. You can't be saved without that. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how often you go to church. How often you read your Bible and pray, unless you've humbled yourself and been convicted by the Spirit of God that you are a guilty sinner before a holy and a righteous God. And by faith trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, you won't be saved, you won't be raptured at the church, at the rapture when the Lord Jesus comes, which could be any moment. You'll go through the tribulation period, and if you didn't believe this side, you'll believe a lie this side and you won't be saved. And Acts chapter 2 verse 21. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's true in any dispensation of time. Any dispensation of time. Old Testament as age of the law. New Testament church age of grace. Tribulation period. The millennial reign. You cannot be saved unless you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Saviour. Humble yourself and become as a little child. Except you be converted and become as little children, shall no case enter the kingdom of heaven. Matthew chapter 18 verse 3. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Every dispensation of time, it's just the same. And this is what Peter is saying. There'll be people that will call upon the name of the Lord. The Jews will call upon the name of the Lord. In this period of time. And he said it's true today, first century, preaching there at Pentecost. All those Jews there, and he said the same is true now. And that's why I say so many churches, all they're doing today is looking at the signs, and they can't see where the signs are pointing to. It's salvation in Jesus Christ. For Jews here at Pentecost, and then, of course, we know for Gentiles as well. I wonder if you're here this morning. Have you called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to save you? People today are trusting in all kinds of things to get to heaven. You get around like I do and you ask people, it's a good question to ask. I say to people, okay, you're a church goer, that's good, and so on, and you do this and do that and do the rest. And I say to them, what are you trusting in to get to heaven? What are you trusting in? And that determines where they're at. And if they say, well, I do this and I do that and I got baptised and I attend the Methodist Church or the Church of Christ or the Independent Baptist Church or, you know, and it's all me, 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 me. Philippian jailer said, what must I do to be saved? Apostle Paul said, you've got to go to church and do this. No, he didn't. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Even a small child can do it. It's not hard. I hope you're here this morning. And you can, at least you can't leave this place and say, well, I went to that church and I never heard from that church about how to be saved. You can't say that if you come to this church.